Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Roland Chris Blog Talk Radio Station, Pathways to Excellence, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. From regulatory developments to fiduciary news and practical tips, tune in to Roland Chris for your step-by-step guide to achieving compliance and confidence in a new fiduciary era. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Chris host.
Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our audience for this podcast on the Pathways to Excellence channel sponsored by Roland Chris. I'm Christy Arthur, Director of Fiduciary Solutions at Roland Chris, and I am the host of today's live 15-minute podcast. Our subject today focuses on retirement plans that are qualified under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, and is titled Four Key Trends in ERISA Process Outsourcing. Retirement plan sponsors of all sizes and across every industry and geography are familiar with outsourcing their key services related to the management of their retirement plan, whether it's record keeping, investment management, or administration. Plan sponsors have had to become savvier about engaging service providers as the burden of plan management within an ever-changing regulatory climate has grown increasingly challenging over the last decade. Several recent developments in the ERISA plan management landscape, however, have led to new observations and strategies for plan sponsors. So Pathways to Excellence asked Ron Hagen, who is chairman of Roland Chris's Fiduciary Standards Committee, to discuss the outsourcing trends that plan sponsors are pursuing. Ron, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Christy, this is a great topic for us to be covering, and I'm looking forward to talking with you about it and sharing some insights with our audience that we've gained from being in the trenches with clients that are wrestling with questions about outsourcing retirement plan services.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we have a lot to cover, so let's get started. Outsourcing ERISA retirement plan services, as I mentioned earlier, it's been around for decades, but recent industry developments have translated into some new strategies for plan sponsors. So let's start with a little bit of background. What is it that's causing employers to change their approaches to plan management?
Well, I would say the biggest factor is the reality that managing a retirement plan is a multifaceted, multidisciplined activity, and whether staying abreast of regulatory activity and the implications that that activity imposes, avoiding a new crop of fiduciary litigation, or doing things to protect the interests and assets of diverse employee populations, the fiduciary plan sponsor's role is filled with challenges. In recent years, I think it's pretty clear the bar has been raised even higher as heightened Department of Labor oversight has challenged traditional notions of what it means to be a fiduciary and which entities and individuals are categorized in that capacity. So as a result of all of that, important trends have emerged in the outsourcing of certain retirement processes here in 2015.
So no doubt there's quite a bit to that, but if you were to narrow that those trends into a list of those that are most prominent, what would those be?
Well, part of the challenge in getting arms around that question is the fact that patterns are shifting in the retirement plan arena. The only true constant in the ERISA world for today's executive class is complexity. There's mushrooming regulation. Cost structures from vendors have gotten more complex, not simpler. There are ever-changing employee preferences. So the key to knowing when it might be time to shift from a more traditional do-it-yourself approach to a fully outsourced retirement plan responsibility model is now more crucial than probably at any time in U.S. history. So here are four key trends that are bound to drive more outsourcing in the near term, not less. First of all, there are shifting pricing models. The vendors are going through various pressures and changes in their own environments brought about by the Department of Labor's introduction of a new fee disclosure requirement back in 2012. The second key trend is that plan sponsors are increasingly hiring independent plan administrators. Third key trend is that many plan sponsors are getting rid of their multiple hat vendor environments. That is, they are moving away from the single sole source vendor of investments, record keeping, custodian, and so on, and breaking that structure up into manageable, more transparent pieces. And then I would say the fourth trend that we would want to focus on today would be the way in which plan sponsors are creating more outcome-based service agreements with their vendors. That is to say, service agreements that have the ability to be measured, unlike the historical approach where many plan sponsors are engaging vendors under arrangements that are very vague and provide very little opportunity for the plan sponsor to determine how well the vendor is performing.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so I know this is going to be a bit of a challenge, but in the few minutes that we have today, I'd really love for you to be able to give us some key guidance, those imperatives or must-dos. Provide that to our audience on how to deal with each of those trends.
Okay, let's we'll try to be as succinct as possible, and there's a lot more to these issues than we will have time for, but let's start with the shifting of pricing models. The retirement plan market is definitely maturing, and one of the consequences of its maturing is that fees are being driven down for investment advice and record keeping, principally. This is forcing a change in pricing from the old asset-based approach to more plan-specific flat fee models. Like most mature markets for products and services, retirement plan services have now become part of a commodity-priced universe. One of the consequences of this new environment is a pricing structure shift. For example, pricing for investment services has been historically asset-based. Going forward, many plan sponsors will see flat fee models from investment service providers that are customized for each plan. Now, there are some unintended consequences of this on fiduciary responsibility. It's actually a good thing for plan sponsors that these pricing shifts are taking place, and we could ask, well, why is that? And the reality is that as pricing becomes increasingly based on services rendered rather than merely plan size, a more reasonable fee for plans will be resolved. And, of course, the reasonable fee requirement is an explicit rule under ERISA. So plan sponsors should examine dollars being spent for each category of service and evaluate whether the dollars, not necessarily the asset-based price ratio, but the dollars, are they growing disproportionately to the level of services they're receiving, or are they maintaining equilibrium with the services being delivered. Excessive fees often lurk in difficult-to-translate basis point fee arrangements, so plan sponsors should not be afraid of asking their vendors to provide their fees in dollar figures.
Well, pricing for retirement plan services was already confusing enough, so it's very easy to see why so many plan sponsors, they're just growing weary, just getting increasingly frustrated with trying to keep up with their vendors' fees. The second trend you mentioned was hiring independent plan administrators. Tell us more about that.
We are seeing plan sponsors hiring firms that specialize in the procurement of fiduciary support services. And that's in response to the Department of Labor's aggressive enforcement of the vendor management rule that's found in what I mentioned earlier to be the ERISA fee disclosure rule found in Section 408B2 of ERISA. Plan sponsors should only use firms for the work of an independent plan administrator, however, that specialize in the management of retirement plan supply chains.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now, at Roland Criss, we're asked to help many plan sponsors examine the inner workings, if you will, of those vendors that provide multiple services to their company's retirement plans. And it so happens that that's the third trend that you mentioned earlier, multiple hat vendors. Expand on that.
Yeah, outsourcing all of an ERISA plan's operational and fiduciary services to a sole source is a so-called multiple hat arrangement. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court coined that phrase in a landmark case that took place some time ago. And the whole idea behind the multiple hat vendor approach in the first place was that it promoted the idea of simple to understand, one-stop shopping for a plan sponsor. That might have been a great idea in the beginning, when the insurance market was offering up prominently available 401k services, for example. But what's happened over the years is that due to concerns about fee transparency and just exactly what plan sponsors and their participants are getting for what's being paid, the multiple hat vendor arrangement has made it more difficult for plan sponsors to actually align themselves with ERISA's fiduciary rules. The problem with the model has become apparent in lots of litigation cases and regulatory actions because bundled services too easily hide excessive fees, which are explicitly forbidden under ERISA. Further troubling is the fact that the plan sponsor, not the vendors, are responsible for identifying and getting rid of fee discrepancies. So here's my suggestion. The best route for plan sponsors to take is not to engage with a single vendor providing multiple services for a retirement plan. As the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion in the case I referenced earlier warned plan sponsors of the dangers of engaging these multiple ad vendors because it makes the job of being a plan sponsor all the more risky than it needs to be.
So that concept actually segues us quite naturally to the fourth trend that you mentioned, and I think you called it or mentioned it, creating outcome-based contracts. And I love the sound of that. When you use the words creating outcomes, I hear empowerment. Tell us more about what you mean by creating outcome-based contracts.
Well, that's right, Christy. That's exactly what the intent of an outcome-based contract is intended to accomplish. The term itself attempts to summarize the move toward contracts primarily for investment advice and record-keeping related services that tie vendor compensation to specific performance measurements. The trend I mentioned previously regarding the move from asset-based pricing models to more flat-fee models is on the rise because of these very type of contracts, this type of contract, the outcome-based contract that we're talking about. In such an arrangement, the vendor and the plan sponsor actually collaborate on specific service-level goals to be achieved within a definitive time period, and those goals later become part of the sponsor's vendor evaluation program. Sponsors are enrolling the help of the retirement plan vendors to define preset objectives in their respective areas of expertise in order to design more sophisticated and relevant retirement plan programs. My tip for plan sponsors is meet with your vendors. Ask each one how they would like to be evaluated. Vendors' metrics then need to be more specific and in-depth than, for example, simply measuring the success of the investments. Plan sponsors should enlist vendors' participation in the creation of a short list of key objectives that can be revisited and against which performance can be measured ongoing. Those metrics should always be compared to industry standards in order to ensure that they assess the most critical areas of vendor servicing and use the most effective metrics for those evaluations.
So as we head towards our close here, what is it, Ron? What is that, or is there one thing that our listeners could kind of take with them or do that points them in the right direction as the trends you've discussed today unfold for them?
That's a good question. Let's try to summarize it this way. Each of the four trends we've looked at today has one common denominator. They all involve the need for coordination with at least one retirement plan service provider in the plan's mix. The complexity of the relationship between plan sponsors and the vendors is the single most pressing issue in the retirement plan industry today. If plan sponsors have questions about their current retirement plan vendors, or they're seeking a new partnership to evaluate current vendor relationships, they could go to the Fiduciary Supply Management Association, which is an independent organization designed to help plan sponsors manage their supply chain requirements under ERISA. That website, by the way, is fiduciarysma.org. Or they could, of course, call you at 1-800-440-3457. The one constant that business executives will see unfold is the way that upcoming regulatory changes will dramatically affect how they think about their fiduciary accountability. unloading the plant administrator role to a firm that performs only that service will be a solution for thousands of organizations that sponsor ERISA retirement plans.
Ron, I thank you so much. This was a tall order to summarize all of this great information for us today, and I thank you so much for sharing all of this. I know that a look at the trends that you've discussed with us today has been really helpful for our audience. And we are actually just about out of time, so I do want to remind our audience to tune in for our next podcast. We're actually going to be visiting about the trends and outcomes related to the annual audit. If you ever do miss out on any of our live podcasts on the live channel, be sure to retrieve those from our website at rolandchris.com. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you, Ron. And everyone, have a great day.